There's studies where they tell people that people are praying for them, and in the condition they don't do that. And in studies where they tell people that people are praying for them, the people do so much worse, because psychologically you go, well, I must be really fucked if a bunch of strangers are praying for me.
What if you had like a lot of people cursing you?
There's a whole room full of people cursing you.
It's
right
probably
now.
Nothing, but we just want you to know that there's these like magic witch and warlock kind of people. They're just cosplaying, of course, but they have been using voodoo dolls and cursing you for the last 2-3 weeks. Probably nothing. Just wanted to let you know. And then they go behind the glass with the clipboard, like, oh, he's getting better. The heart rate's improving. Cholesterol's low.
What was... That was a quick mm-hmm, too. That was so sneaky. I was gonna zip it in, and you just very. I don't know.
You spend a lot of time monk. Researching actual topics for the show. I spend all my time scheming. How can I get the first word in creatively?
The first noise.
Yeah, in. Not even a word. First anything in, that's all I want.
Well, I don't even know exactly what we're talking about in this episode. I just need to record one. I got a scoot boots. I have family stuff that came up. My grandma is on her way out, probably passing away sometime soon. It's tough to tell. You don't know if it's like there's turnaround or whatever else, but it all escalated quickly. And I have like a very, my Midwestern family doesn't like sharing awkward things. So I also found out like very late that I'm like, oh, you mean like I need to be back now if I want to see my grandma before yep. she dies? And you've been like just sitting on this information for weeks because it was like you didn't want to like cause a fuss.
Yep, that's the boomer way.
Or something.
Don't talk about it. Someone was, oh I think God. Rami Youssef, is that the name? I know his name's Rami Hassan in the show, but I think the actual guy's name is Rami Youssef. But he has this theory of like the generation before us is like all closed up, like doesn't talk about what's going on. And then
we just
after
can't
us,
stop babbling about
yeah,
it.
We have like 100 Patreon episodes a week, 2 regular yeah. episodes, like posting how I feel. And then it's probably going to skip. And then this next generation is probably going to be like, how come the generation above us didn't shut the fuck up?
Yeah, yeah. We literally, like, therapy has really come into its own in the last, like, couple decades. And I think that's good overall. But at the same time, it is really strange, the idea that there's a species that we're like, I'm going to pay someone
yeah.
to just sit and listen to me talk. Like your most personal like secrets and privileged information, stuff that information that other species would like gossip about or use against you if they could or whatever, or our species does all the time.
Yeah, other species. You mean the wolves yeah. or like cockroaches gossiping? I would pay to have them gossip about me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess their form of gossip is different.
There has to be some primate species out there that have like looks or something that they give when they know when they know that guy's around.
it's that low class male that thinks he's a high class male or high status male, not class.
Yeah. And so, yeah, maybe we blab too much. I don't know, but I grew up with just nothing but small talk, but now it's like, I'm not good in any social situations. Now all I have is like big talk stuff. So it's like, I just got done with a FaceTiming or whatever. My grandma, I saw her in the hospital bed or whatever, and I have like nothing to say to her, and I'm like, my brain's like, you know that humans are the only species with grandmas. Like, it's amazing you even exist at all. It's,
Is that true?
Yeah.
Like from the cultural role, because I would imagine cats have grandmas because they reproduce faster, and like, you know, they're 1 year old and they're capable of having babies. So
let me say it like this: but humans are the only thing that go through menopause. Anything else where females are no longer reproductively viable, it just kind of they're usually dead.
Okay, that makes sense. But that's not what a grandma is, though. A grandma is someone that had a kid that then had a kid.
Yeah. It's the only ones that have, like, what's the word for paternal care, but for, like, grandparents?
Maternal? Oh, grapernal? Gripernal?
It's grapernal.
Grapernal pair.
As everyone knows, it's called Grapernal
Pair. Episode title locked in. Yes!
Yeah, there's no other species that has, like, well, probably the reason why we evolved menopause was because of grandmas, because of grapernal pairing. because the females would no longer be able to be as reproductively successful. Having children for humans is really difficult, really dangerous on moms. Our heads are too big. There's a lot of, in our evolutionary past, there was lots and lots of both infant mortality and dying during pregnancies and giving birth.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, be in your peak just to deliver a big headed, big brained human child that then is absolutely worthless. What made that stop, you think?
Like, the energy consumption? Because I imagine you could do, like, bigger birth canal for bigger head, and then the head gets even bigger, and then the birth canal gets even bigger, and then so you then have nothing but head and canal at the end of it. Yes. But then I guess you would topple over. So I guess we found a balance of, like, this is as big as the head can get, guys.
It's the pelvis with standing upright.
Mm.
Yeah, it's as big as she goes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how. Because dinosaurs stood upright.
And maybe we already have enough brain. Like, the brain is kind of getting in the way now, like, where we overthink everything and we're anxious. And
well, that's true, but there's still no reason to let that baby cook for a little while longer rather than come out completely worthless.
Yeah.
Humans came out the most worthless out of anything. By far. I do like...
We can't even crawl.
Marsupials are, like, kind of... But then they go right back in. They go out and then they get into a pouch, so it's not, you know, it's not like they're still totally inside, but... I don't know. That's
we're
close.
Done. Yeah, we're not done. We're like, we're a quarter baked, though. Like, you need a year to teach to crawl and to eat and everything.
I'm 42. I just cleaned the house that I'm in for the first time since I've been here. It's been for 6 months. I've been living in a dump that just took like a few hours to clean. Now it's like a fine enough. It's a fine place.
The power of women. Or having another person in your life.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, it could also apply to a messy woman that has a man come over, or a messy man that has a man come over.
Both Rihanna moved in and I started dating someone. So that's the pressure of two females here. Yeah, so.
There were these two comics I knew that one was in a relationship, the other one was single, and the guy in the relationship would never clean the house. And then the single guy confronted him on it, and then he goes like, whatever, you're single, you're gonna have to get laid somehow, sometime. And he's like, damn it, you're right. And then so he was always the one that had to clean, because if he had a lady come over, then he's like, oh, I gotta do that. Not the best bunch, not the best couple of folks, but...
Yeah. I can see it. But yeah,
they both seem like a nightmare to live with.
The point is we're pretty worthless. I wonder what age kids started becoming independent. Because there's certain areas where like 12-year-olds can really start doing stuff, you know. And you hear stories of back in the day when someone would start working at 12 and then they'd drop out of school at like 13 or whatever, and then they're working full time at that time,
like, yeah,
on their own and stuff. And that seems insane to us, but 13 years, there's nothing else taking 13 years. What's something that takes a while to not be worthless? I think elephants take quite a while to fully develop.
Do they? I thought they just came out like pretty, like,
they can
pretty
walk,
fully formed. Little babars.
Maybe you're right.
Tail swinging. Yeah. Like maybe they don't have their full tusks yet, but they're something. They probably won't survive.
They're baking in there for 2 years. That's a 2-year-long pregnancy. So theoretically, if we baked longer, we would come out not being completely worthless. But when children are more than, you know, 9 months, or when women are more than 9 months pregnant, it just increases.
What if they do get Neuralink style stuff?
Medicine.
If Neuralink style stuff starts working, like what if there's this big debate of like, should we be planting knowledge in utero or should we wait until they're out before we start planting?
What's Neuralink actually do?
I don't know what the like official, you know, Kleenex brand, Xerox brand, like I'm just saying Neuralink is maybe not the Elon one, but just, basically chip in your brain that you can upload stuff into.
I think I'd probably go for a brain chip. How about you?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're like, what if they shoot ads into it? They're already shooting ads everywhere on the outside. Might as well shoot them into the inside too. Get them both in there for symmetry. It's a little lopsided right now. There's not enough ads on the inside. Give me those ads.
A lot of species, they'll even when they give birth or whatever, you know, certain spiders or things will give birth and then just their body will be the first thing that their offspring eat. A lot of other species, like, just they only have they can give birth up until like the very end of their life. So menopause is it's like a weird evolutionary mystery why humans have menopause, and they think it's because of grandmothers. They think that having someone, like, you'd reach a certain age where you having kids yourself are competing for resources for your already existing kids. And if you instead were to put energy into those already existing kids that are having more kids themselves because of your help and care, then it all comes out in the wash. Because you're still getting 25% of your genes into your grandkids. That's not a bad gig. Like my grandma had 6 kids. I don't know how many, which is insane, by the way.
Not for a few generations.
Not for her generation. My dad, I think, was one of 7.
Catholic, right?
Mom's mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Less strange even then.
Yeah.
Single digits for Catholic is low.
it's still so crazy.
Isn't it crazy how many grandparents, or how many, the more you go up, the more grandparents you have? So you have 2 parents, you have 4 grandparents, you have 8 great-grandparents, you have 16 great-great-grandparents, and then it keeps going up until, you know, it hits Adam and Eve level stopping point. But
not
biblical Adam and Eve, but, you know, evolutionary Adam and Eve, whatever monkey thing is the Eve.
It goes back like a little over 4 billion years.
Yeah.
That is, it's really, it's strange that we, it's weird to be the product of over 4 billion years of life, and then you show up here and you're like, I'm gonna be a stand-up comedian or make
tip
a little
of the spear.
I'm gonna make little drawings and put them on social media. It's so ridiculous, and it's actually pretty impressive compared to what a lot of our ancestors were. Total duds, way worse duds than we are, and we're still here somehow. Yeah, I think there's a lot of duds out there. You don't think so?
I feel like they still had to go to the well and like pull a thing up or like throw a spear at a donkey or something. I feel like they got out and did stuff. I feel like we're the first generation to really not do stuff.
Yeah.
We're using our thumbs to write our opinions based on other stuff that we saw on the phone, and just we're in the stupid loop constantly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, everything's so specialized with us, whereas it was more generalized before. It is strange that 2% of the population is in the food industry. 2% used to be 100% of the population.
Does this mean farming, or this means all of it, like working at a restaurant?
Yeah.
So what about Costco?
It takes one person to feed 50 people. Nowadays, essentially.
Cool.
I think that includes Costco and grocery stores and stuff.
Even if you're not actually like giving food, if you're, let's say, I don't know. Now I'm like,
I'm not gonna know whether your loophole is valid or not.
Like if you work at Walmart,
that's just the number that I was told
by
an anthropologist. But yeah, hit me with the loophole anyway.
Like
just
you work
kicks,
in the optometrist office at Walmart. Does that count as food? Because Walmart sells food, but you're in that building and you're getting paid by the same conglomerate thing. But you're the eye doctor there.
You don't think 2% is like a rough enough estimate where it's like
probably
there's probably
fine.
Some people, some eye doctors that are getting scooped up into the food industry, but then some actual people cooking things or having their own gardens or whatever that aren't being counted.
That's
and
true.
It probably comes out in the wash.
That's right.
You want 4%? I'll give you 4% if you want it.
You can't double it. No, that's not scientific. You got to stay within the standard deviation margin of error, mean statistical regression to the mean.
I'm feeling very generous. You want to say 4% of people are in the food industry? I'll go for it. Why not?
Just so half, like the amount of chef hats on like the whole globe, like it just doubles. Like you see these little people heads pop up, like the chef hat just goes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're all, I wonder if it's harder to measure success now, though, than it was before.
And measure overall success?
Yeah, because, I mean, you would have, like, small towns. I think about my grandma, and she was from a smaller town than her 1,000-person city that like my mom was raised in and stuff, and small town stuff is so they are big gossipers. They care very much about their reputation, and then so it's when things scale up beyond their town too, they still like you get like that spotlight effect. I've had people that, you know, go from small towns and then they visit New York or something. It's like, I felt like everyone was looking at me the whole time. Like, oh no, that's not how it goes.
You wish.
That's not at all how it goes. It goes the other way. Less people care about you.
But yeah.
I had, I inadvertently made my grandparents like very self-conscious. It was like a whole family drama one time because just to tell an adorable story, and it is quite cute.
How long ago?
I don't know, 7-8 years ago. I saw Last Comic Standing, and they were like asking me about my background, and then they're like, "Oh, that's a funny story. We want to shoot that," and like flew to my grandma's and stuff to like shoot this story. And then my grandparents thought I was like setting them up to make them like look bad or something like that. It was a whole thing. The story is, and it's amazing. So the first time, so I didn't tell anyone that I wanted to be a stand-up comedian because from a bunch of people that would have thought that impractical, and they would have been correct. It would have been 100% correct. That wasn't closed-minded. That was wisdom. So I didn't tell anyone I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. Then I caught, you know, breaks, got this award thing, and then got asked to be on Conan. And that stuff all happened pretty quickly, pretty much before anyone had gotten word that I was doing or even trying to be a comedian. And the little bits of like stuff that, you know, a family friend would like Google me or something like that and see my show pop up or my name pop up on some show on a Google search or something. That's the only way that anyone found out at all. And I'd be like, ah, whatever. It's just a like karaoke or yeah, whatever. Because dealing with questions that you get from being a stand-up comedian is the worst, but especially when your parents have like financial questions about
it. Oh no. It makes my whole body close down.
So I was going to be on Conan for the first time, and there was like days notice. I think I found out on a Wednesday it was going to be coming out the following Tuesday or something like that. And I tell my parents, and my mom's like, "Oh, whoa, Shane's going to be on Conan O'Brien." I have no idea. I was never heard of the guy. Knows nothing about him. But I'm going to be on TV, and that's a big deal. So she tells a bunch of family members and stuff, and she's super, especially at the time. Me becoming a comedian kind of shook everything up enough to like loosen up the family some. It was good for them. But at the time, it was like saying naughty words or swearing or talking about genitalia or something like that was very, very taboo. So anyhow, they'd told my grandparents, and my grandma, my sweet, especially while I was growing up, she was sweeter. Toward the end of her life, she got pretty political and less sweet, but you know, she is sweet, well-meaning lady who.
It's funny when you say get political with a negative context. We always know which side you're talking about. Yeah.
She got wrapped up into a cult and got taken for a ride. Super unfortunate.
Yeah, it's never like she got really political and just wouldn't stop talking about unions and how we got to like get more and strengthen them and get healthcare for people. It's always.
Well, you know, the worst part about it is like some of her kids were too, and then they would be like, "You got to check out Newsmax." Like, oh my God. This is not what my grandmother, who's like going through chemotherapy regularly for 8 years, does not need to find out about Newsmax because Fox News is too soft. Like, that is not the stuff my grandma
is. That the one that has like Obama with a turban and devil horns and fiery eyes? Yeah.
So anyhow, before all that, 2007, my grandma like plays organ in the choir at the same church that they lived like two blocks away from. They would walk to church, her and my grandpa. She'd play organ. My grandpa would sing in the choir, wholesome church going folk. And my grandma finds out that her grandson is going to be on the TV, and she wants to be really supportive. And so she printed out flyers.
No!
Which I want to see those flyers too. As far as I know, she doesn't know how to do like Photoshop. This is 2000s. She probably worked super hard on it. If I had to guess, she put so much effort into it. And she, because they're always like, you know, they're thoughtful, like making gifts for, like, my mom has a whole like gift wrapping station in her house. It's just like at least once a week she's like making some gift for somebody. It's a whole.
You have said that she loves like Christmas, so it's like she's extended Christmas into everything.
My mom watches the Hallmark Channel from about September, September is the latest until March. And if you've never seen the Hallmark channel, it's every movie's the same. What happens is there's like two people meet and they're like right for each other, but there's some like sort of conflict where they're not sure if it can work. And then Christmas brings them together. And that's every movie, and there's so many of them
except for the Odysseus one, which I liked. Hallmark made it like they exclusively made a movie about Odysseus. And
what's Odysseus? I thought you were just making up a thing.
Or it's called the Odyssey, you know, Homer's Odyssey. He goes on, he leaves his hometown, he meets the you know, the sirens, he fights the Cyclops, he gets fucked in the ass, whatever, like all those trials and tribulations that happen. And then like he gets home and then
can
all
you
these
put that on the Hallmark channel?
Maybe not one of those things I mentioned, but the Cyclops and the sirens and the, you know, whatever, the stuff he goes through. And then he gets home and then all these other suitors are trying to marry his wife. And then he gets home and then he just kills all of those men that are trying to get his wife after he's been gone for 20 years. And they show all that. They show him like just impaling guys with a spear up against the wall. And they thought he was dead. They thought he wasn't coming back. These are noblemen. They have every right to try to claim the stuff. And then he just gets back and him and his son just kill everybody. It was nicely done for a Hallmark movie of a Greek, you know, what is it? The Iliad and the Odyssey. Those are the two Homer books. Highly recommend.
Is the one the flying too close to the sun one?
That's Icarus. The Icarus tale. Yeah. Right, and don't forget that the Icarus tale also says don't fly too low.
Don't fly too low. Yeah. Salt water. You don't want to get salt water on those wings. Mm-hmm. But definitely if your dad told you that he just fashioned some wings out of feathers and wants you both to jump off a cliff.
Dads always have inventions. Dads are constantly inventing stuff. They have to.
He probably made up the story about whatever threat. Wasn't there some monster trapped in the center of this and that?
Don't remember that part, but yeah, probably.
That they were like guarding or imprisoned or something. I don't know.
I should brush up on
it. I really don't care about those things.
But get back to the flyer. I want to see where this goes.
So she tells everyone and literally hands out flyers to like everyone in church, and she plays organ and sings in the choir, so she's at every one of the like every single mass, not just a mass, every single one. And this is like everyone in her town. So she hands out a flyer to like every single person in her town, essentially, who then watch me on Conan O'Brien with their same sensibility. No, this isn't exactly true, because like my mom and my grandma took it like, you know, are like, oh my gosh, dirty words. But it's because it's their son or grandson doing it.
Were you
it,
dirty you know? On Conan, though? I thought Conan was pretty clean. I mean, it's not Tonight Show, Letterman, you know.
I had some like edgier. I mean, just like my girlfriend's kind of pessimistic in the bedroom. The vagina's always half empty, I think, was one of my jokes, something like that. Not even that great of a joke. Got on Conan.
I like it. It's a fun one-liner.
It's fine.
Maybe not like 20 years in, but as a young lad, you can get rid of
young
you can
lad.
You're more likable as a young, you know, 20
yeah, you
something
talk
comic.
About badges as a young lad, as a sweet faced Midwestern.
Yes,
that's what people want. Sweet faced, innocent looking Midwestern boys presuming to know things about vaginas.
Yes, they do. But you got to take advantage of that. You know, I don't know, whatever it is. The awshucksness, as you describe it, which it doesn't work in your 40s. In your 40s, you have to take on a different persona, which hopefully you will have grown into naturally by then. But people clinging to their 20, like, would this work when I was 20? How come people don't find me adorable now?
I think I can pull off an aw shucks still, but it's more of like a cartoonish, like it's not a genuine aw shucks.
Yeah. You know?
It's a pretend aw shucks. Anyway, my grandma was like so horrified that I like said the word vagina or whatever on a late night television show, and she had told everyone. They ended up, I probably shouldn't mischaracterize this story because they claim that this isn't true, but it's odd timing. But they, right after that, went to a totally different church than the church that they had been going. That's two blocks. That's a walk that they play organ in and sing in the choir and stuff. They're just like, you know what? We're going to change churches and drive.
Well, what's their reason then if it had no minutes, relation?
You know, I'm sure they just like made up some sort of thing.
No, your version is the true one.
Oh, of course. Of course. And I think that's adorable. And so, like, the last comic standing people also thought it was adorable and wanted to, like, have a thing where, like, if I advanced, then it would be, like, my grandparents sitting in, like, you know, one of the front rows or whatever, rooting for me because they, like, you know, got used to it or whatever. It was, like, shocking at first, which is cute and adorable. And they, you know, but they wished me well and whatnot. That was what was, and my grandparents just thought I was like making fun of them for just because they're like small town spotlight effect. And they're also like my mom hates every single time that I'm on television. Cannot stand it. She'll go to, because she can't like judge things for herself. Like she only thinks like, well, what are other people going to think about this? Mm-hmm. So she's in a comedy show. I can tell way worse jokes, like, and have, like, I have told like 10 minute long anal sex stories in comedy clubs, like with my parents in the audience, and it's been fine because my mom just like sees that everyone's laughing and it's like, okay, I guess Stephen Wright's mom is like this too. Stephen Wright's mom, in 2006, I was in the Boston Comedy Festival. Stephen Wright's from Boston, and he like, you know, had one of the big, or like closed out the finals that I was in, something like that, or had a big show, the show before mine. Anyway, one of the people that was there to see me just happened to sit right next to Stephen Wright's mom. Stephen Wright, if you guys don't know, you should look him up. He's not terribly prolific, but me growing up, he was like a big hero of mine.
He's the original Mitch Hedberg and the first guy to break it big out of Boston, which you're also a Boston guy.
Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, Stephen Wright's mom was like talking to a friend of mine and like let them know that that's my son. And she's like, I don't get it. I don't really get it. But still like in the audience, you know, like being supportive or whatever. I think it's just hard when you're someone's parent and you see them in a certain way. And,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It is what it is. But like small town folks care so deeply about what others think of them, and now it's like now everyone's just online and we can just like tell everyone to suck our asses and
yeah,
we're just
LA
fine
and
with
New
it.
York now, that's what the online is. Online is not you know, I can't even name, I used to be able to just name random small towns and I don't know any of them, but you know, little
you
town
used
Arkansas
to be names.
Not real ones, but you know, Fairtown, Ohio. It's not Fairtown, Ohio on the internet. It's New York. It's Mumbai. It's Los Angeles. Which, speaking of Los Angeles, I can't help but think of it being the...
I'm stuck on that you supposedly used to have a skill where you were able to think of made up small town names.
Pisstown, New Hampshire. Assfield, Connecticut.
And now you no longer have this the skill just because you haven't used it enough, or you think it's like part of aging, or
I hope it's not part of aging. I'm fine with
the first thing to go. The first sign when I knew Ramin wasn't doing well was when he couldn't think of Pissed Town New
Hampshire. He stalled on Frog Balls, Arkansas.
Frog Balls, Arkansas is not a great name. I guess you're right. You can't do it anymore. Frog Balls is a terrible name for us all.
Yeah. Time. Oh, but So Los Angeles, it's the opposite of caring what everyone. Maybe this is just a pointed example of it, but it's the highest hit and run with cars in any state. So that's the ultimate not caring about what another person thinks. But maybe because that's anonymous, like you hit a car and drive
off.
In
Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong, customers, commenters.
I think it would be hard to stop. In a lot of places, wouldn't it be like difficult? I mean, I guess if you bump into someone, you're supposed to.
Well, you kind of make an effort though. Like maybe if you're on the highway, you like kind of, you try to pull over, you assume they're going to pull over, but I'm talking the hit and then immediately you screech away, like, because you cannot have another, you can't have the cops showing up and knowing that you exist, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, and another thought with grandparents. I guess I'm fortunate in that my grandma kind of like skipped a generation with the mischievousness, where she is more mischievous and we'll be on FaceTime and my mom is there and she'll be like, "Hey, I want to tell you a dirty joke, but your mom's here. So like, remind me when you call later so I can tell you this joke. It's dirty."
That's funny.
Yeah, and tells it to me in Farsi, and then it's like, do you know what that word means? Okay, so then anyway, he's sticking the blank up his blank, and then the pastor comes in and says, "Hey,
do you know
you're supposed
what
to
that
put that
word
off my
means?
Ass?" Yeah.
When I would tell her that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I say I don't know, but when I know what it is.
But I would always say I don't know. I would always
so you could
like,
hear
no,
it.
What is that actually? You should try it sometime just to get, and then write down your grandma's definition of a double dong dildo.
Yeah.
That's fun. How old are your grandparents?
So I've only got one left, and she is 90.
Oh, wow.
But she's sharp as ever. Like, mentally, like, you wouldn't think 90 or any sort of memory or cognitive decline at all. Like, you know, some bad knees and, like, teeth and stuff like that. The general things that come with 90. But besides that, just, like, really doing...
That's so long. If I live to 90, I'm not even halfway there right now.
Yep.
We're not even close. Holy smokes. The girl I've been dating, she went to visit her grandpa. And she's like, "Oh, he's doing really well. He's 95. And he's like, as sharp as could be and stuff. And I was like, "Wow, that's really impressive." She's like, "Well, yeah, you know, his dad lived to be 116.
Whoa.
And I'm like, "Isn't that a record?" She's like, "Oh, no." I'm like, "But that's fucking close to a record."
It's Olympian level. Like, you're not number one, but you're a contender. You're in the conversation.
116. And she said that her grandpa is the youngest of the children, and all of his brothers are still alive.
Whoa.
And that's males that die off earlier then. I wonder what do you think the oldest male ever is?
Ever, like, verified. Although that's tough to verify because sometimes it's some guy in Peru that swears that smoking a pack of cigarettes a day is the secret, and that he doesn't have a birth certificate, but he looks...
He doesn't have a birth certificate.
Yeah, but I'm going to say oldest ever, 134.
I haven't looked at it yet. 134.
I mean, all
boy,
time
I bet,
recorded.
I bet you're right. I'm gonna say less. I'll say 121.
It's more than that, for sure.
Wait, the oldest? Wait, but I look at oldest, this is oldest verified people. The oldest living person in the world whose age has been validated is 118-year-old Lucille.
No, oh, we're talking about living today. I thought you meant all time. Like recorded.
I am. I'll find it. The world's oldest known living man is 113. He must have been the right. He had to have been.
You got to look up oldest person to ever live, and that's John Calment of France. And it says that he was 122 and 164 days.
Are you making
that's what
that
it says
up?
On? I mean, let's see, NPR.org. That's pretty. You know,
yeah.
As far as knowledge goes, I think most people agree NPR is not
most.
You know, InfoWars. Although InfoWars people would say NPR is bullshit and InfoWars is right. So as long as we're living in the NPR universe, that's good.
The oldest person whose age has been, the oldest man is 116. That's not like how could your great grandpa be 116? I feel like he's unverified.
Yeah, that could be it. Because birth certificates weren't in computers when he was born, and you had to be of nobility to get a birth certificate because you had to be born in a hospital.
When she told me, she acted like it was like not really a thing, that like not a big deal. Like, oh, you know, people live to be like, no, there's, according to Wikipedia, there's one person that is verified that's 116 right now.
That's like, you're,
the
you're
next
saying
closest
bye.
Is 115.
You're saying bye to him for 20 years. Because if he's 95, you're like, well, this is the last time I'm going to get to see him. This is the last time I'm going to, this is the last time. This, and then all of a sudden, when is he?
Well, that's the, like my grandparents, my dad's parents, they went from, my dad's dad, who was slow to deteriorate. My dad's mom was like 94 or something, in great shape, fell like riding her bike and broke her hip and just immediately declined really quickly. And was
at what
like
age did
dead
you say?
In like a year or something like that. 94, I think.
95 was riding a bike?
Yeah.
Damn.
93, 94. I think she had a bike with like three wheels though.
A trike?
But still. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If it was just in the center, I don't know if that would help. Or it's an old timey, like,
yeah,
one with a big wheel.
Old timey trike. Yeah. It had two in the back with a big basket. I used to drive it around or ride it around, and I could get up on the two wheels on a side. That was that was a lot of fun. Looked like a real badass on grandma's trike. That was from, my dad is from a town of less than 200 people. And
Damn.
Then my mom, it's like less than 1,500. I don't know how many were around when she was there.
So that
there.
Means there's 100 ladies to choose from, and then half of those are already taken. Then the rest of the half are not viable. And then the other half are out of your league. And then, so you just got to like find the out of your league one that you can convince, or settle for the beneath your league one that you can...
Just proximity. It's it's like how your best friend was just the kid that was down the block that was the same age as you were when you were growing up. You're like 4 or 5 years old. It's like your best friend is the person that your mom can drop you off a block away and will watch you, and they'll trade for daycare.
Yep. Luckily, as kids, like, you have a limited set of interests anyway, and you don't have any firm political ideologies that could cause fights.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you like video games? Yes. Good. Let's play. And then you maybe fight over which video game is the best or which shows you watch, but kids are going to be into the same. You take an 8-year-old boy and another 8-year-old boy, they're probably into the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so the two grandparents that I have left, they've had like nothing but health problems for like, I don't know, 10, 20 years, just all sorts of, they have like hips break and every damn thing.
Life is so bad. It's so hard.
Well, they like, I don't know, they didn't take the best care of themselves and stuff too, or whatever. Whatever happened, they've they're high users of medical care, that's for sure. And they, so yeah, so it's kind of been like a lot of false alarms for a long time and a lot of social pressure to be like, but this could be grandma's last Christmas. And it happens so often that it's like, whatever, I'm not falling for that trick again.
Yeah, the boy that cried last grandma. Yeah.
So this is definitely, if grandma makes it to this Christmas, it's definitely, it's going to be her last one. We'll see. So I'm driving back. I have a 16-hour drive. I'm going to take the studio with me so we can record again.
The only show that can do that.
Yeah. Gonna do that. So, and we'll see. Hoping to make it back in time to see her while she's still alive. It's such a tricky thing too, because you don't know, like, I'm not hearing from the doctors, you know. I'm mm-hmm. hearing from like my parents or whatever else, or, and I don't know. It's like, well, this aunt of mine is dramatic. This person's too optimistic. This person's too pessimistic. How do I time this? I don't want to. Yeah, whatever.
It's a projection of our brain.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Have you dealt with
grand death?
Yeah. Like, have you been around toward the, because my dad's parents, they were just so mentally gone by the time, you know, and had been for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like hard to even see. Whereas my grandma's like pretty with it, other than being like sleepy. Her brain still is like normal functioning and everything else.
Luckily,
her body's going away.
I mean, so my grandparents on my parents' side. Could you imagine? grandparents on my dad's side. I have no memory of their like later years because they weren't as close. My mom's very close to her parents. My dad wasn't as close to them, so wasn't there for that grandpa's death. Wasn't there for that mom's death. Only met her like a few times, so didn't really see the decline there. And then grandpa on my mom's side, I saw a little bit of it, but he was still, I mean, he was late 90s and was still there, and was just, he only got sweeter, and he was always the sweetest, and was he was always doing stuff, was always fixing cars, building things in the shop till he just couldn't anymore. This one house we had, he used to have like 6 or 7 cars that he just acquired at their worst state and would spend his time trying to fix the car and then mm-hmm. sell it again. And most of the time he got it to work again. Most of the time he would just bring a car back from death and sell that car, and never went easy on us in sports. Like, would kick the soccer ball as hard as he could at our 4-year-old heads. And like, while all the other parents are just like playing baby style, like, he would go real. And we always loved that, but he was still there, but then physically he just started to deteriorate and had dementia. But other than that, like, I've never had a relative or grandparent like do that, you know, the Alzheimer thing where they don't remember you, or they're like grabbing the nurse's ass, or like, you know, those stories of like, they're gone, they're physically the same body, but I don't know who this entity is in there. That's not their personality. Their personality has shifted completely. So I think I'm lucky in that sense, because that's probably got to fuck with you a lot if you go visit your dad or grandparents and then they're just taken over by some other entity.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I remember my dad's mom like bit someone at some point toward the end. It was like, but you also need to like look into that too, because nursing homes are notorious for abuse and everything too. So you don't know. So I don't know. It's just,
I remember. Did you read that article of these teenage girls?
So much.
There's this article of, it came out like 10 years ago, of these teenage girls that were abusing the elderly at a nursing home, and they were listing off some of the stuff that they did that they were being charged for. And one of them was that they would ride around old men like a horsey. And I remember it was so funny that that was the charge. I'm like, why do you say horsey and not a horse? Like, it's...
One of the things they did was ride around. Strip them
naked and ride him around like a horsey. It made the news like 10 years ago. Now it's long, 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 long forgotten.
I feel like if I'm in my 90s, it would be lovely to have some young ladies strip me naked and ride me around like a horsey. Even if it's like really denigrating way, just for the company.
Yeah. I guess we never heard their side of it.
it's weird to not have kids and think about, because my grandma has a nonstop parade of people coming to visit her, which that also has to be a little bit of a head fuck when they start flooding in and it's like, whoa, I don't normally have this many visitors. Something's up. There's studies where they tell people that people are praying for them and in the condition they don't do that. And in studies where they tell people that people are praying for them, the people do so much worse, because psychologically you go, oh, I must be really fucked if a bunch of strangers are praying for me. So you associate it with it being the end.
What if you had like a lot of people cursing you? I mean, I guess they probably haven't done that study. But it's like, okay, just so you know,
there's a whole room full of people cursing you.
It's probably nothing, but we just want you to know that there's these like magic witch and warlock kind of people. They're just cosplaying, of course, but they have been using voodoo dolls and cursing you for the last 2-3 weeks. Probably nothing. Just wanted to let you know. And then they go behind the glass with the clipboard, like, oh, it's getting better. The heart rate's improving, cholesterol's lower.
Because you need to fight the warlocks or something. Yeah, I wonder what the mechanism would be. I think that would maybe cause some stress.
I don't believe in voodoo, but do I? I don't know everything.
Because if I heard a room full of people were praying for me, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Let them do their thing. If that's what they need to do to like feel better or whatever.
This is if you don't know how bad it is, right?
People, yeah, I don't know how bad it is.
Okay, yeah.
But if I hear a room full of people that's cursing me, like, wait, what? Cursing.
What about control variable? Both. You've got a room of 20 people praying for you, 20 people cursing you.
Yeah. To see... Well, because they've tested people like actually, you know, praying for people or whatever and not telling you that they're doing it. And then people not praying for you and telling, you know, they've done all the variations. And just like doesn't matter if people are praying for you or not, but overwhelmingly, I think that or more than 50% at least, maybe not overwhelmingly. I would need to look. But yeah, it's not great for you to be at the end and be like, there's a room of strangers praying for you right now. Everyone, it's all they can do.
Yeah, I can see how that would decline. Did you ever hear the water molecule studies where if you take a jar of water and you tell it you love it, the water looks, the molecule looks more beautiful, like school of...
I've heard some things about that.
My friend did that. He had a house that he had just got, this 3-bedroom house. He had a great engineering job and he just moved in, and 2 of the guest bedrooms were empty, and he did that experiment. He like put a jar of water in an empty room and then he would project love at it. And then he would do it in another room and he would project hate at it, like the same amount of water in different empty rooms.
Fucking
and I don't have to tell you what happened. Of course, at the end of the study, nothing happened. Nothing. The water does not look different.
Maybe molecularly. He wasn't in love enough. And having to switch back and forth, you forget which direction you're sent. Like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be hating this cup. I just sent it.
Yeah, the data was tainted. It wasn't that the school of thought doesn't work, but I just loved that.
It would suck if it worked, because if I spent like 3 months loving this cup of water so much that it like gained sentience or something. And now I can't go out tonight. I gotta sit around loving this cup of water that is now self-aware because of my love. Fuck. If I stop doing it, it dies a horrific death. And it's all my fault.
That would have awful repercussions if that was the truth. But he didn't tell me this is what he was doing. I stumbled upon the rooms. I'm like, why is there an empty room of just a jar of water in the thing? And then he just explained.
There's not a empty room. There's two empty rooms.
Two empty rooms. Yeah, there's people in tents on the street. He's got two empty guest bedrooms where he's loving and hating water. Which he knew it was ridiculous, but he's like me where he's, you know, open to anything. It's like, well, I want to see for myself. Like, I'm not doing this publicly. Like, I'm just telling you because you're my friend, but I wanted to know if this water molecule book thing is real.
How did he break it to you? Like, you know, there's been, I feel like we've gotten close. Close enough. There's something I'd really like to share with you.
I mean, I was just over at his place hanging out in general, and then I stumbled upon it. Yeah. And he didn't make up some lie of like, oh, I forgot my empty cup of water in this room. It was
Maybe he did make up a lie, and that was the lie.
No, it was not.
It was intentionally placed. God damn.
And me and him would talk conspiracies like 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, have you heard of the Zechariah Sitchins? Have you heard of the Anunnaki? It's like, that's pretty interesting. And in the early phases.
Everyone deserves to go through that. It's like when the Weinsteins or whatever, the Brett Weinsteins or whatever, they're like, oh my God, these college kids are out of control. First off, you became a fucking teacher. You chose to teach college kids. All right. And like had no idea that college kids tend to take up causes and like don't always know exactly the accurate biology or this or that behind their causes or like the practicalities of it. You didn't know that? Every college kid should get to take up a cause, and they should get to like have some black lights, and they should get to like get into conspiracies a little bit and feel it out. It's when you don't grow out of it. It's when it's like 50 years. It's like you're 50 years old and still doing that shit. Like, I don't know. Really? It seems like this is ruining your life.
Much like the sense of humor we were talking about before. Yeah, there's things that work as a youth, as a phase, and then if you're not growing out of it, ooh, arrested development.
Yeah.
But I think with the Weinsteins, maybe their strategy is they're like, there's no way we're going to be known as the worst Weinsteins. Like, there's just no way we can outdo Harvey. Let's go full
ham.
I
thought of Harvey in my head. Yeah. I was like, wait, how do you say it again? Which one?
Yeah, he could be full MAGA QAnon, like everything, and still be like, well, he's the second most problematic Weinstein brothers. But I was thinking,
gaining status and like getting celebrity and stuff like that and getting validation and getting, you know, stuff. It's a drug for sure. And some people are super taken by it, especially when you're other people.
Like we've discussed, if you're loved bombed by one side and then demonized by the other side, of course you're going to go running to the people praising you. But I was thinking, if I was in the intellectual dark web, I'm not saying this is what's happening, but I would start beef with other members of it. Like, you know, I start beef with Sam Harris and with, Eric Weinstein or whatever. And then 2 years later, you sit down and finally have a podcast discussion where you talk about it civilized. Beef. Yeah. And then you get like the most hits ever. Yeah, and it's like, and then people comment like, I'm so glad to see civilized discussions of differing opinions like this. Thank you, Lex Friedman. Thank you, Eric. We're not seeing these enough. Thank you.
It just, they're talking with a reasonable tone. Yeah. Therefore, what they're saying must be reasonable. Huh.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it? They seem like extreme beliefs, but when they talked to one another, they seemed like really level-headed. Huh. Maybe I was wrong about this extreme belief.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys. Where were we? Oh, conspiracy
aging,
stuff.
Dying,
oh, the water. The praying the for water, the water. The conspiracy. All right.
Praying for healing of... It is, we already have an episode that said all roads lead to the intellectual dark web, which is funny because we had stopped doing that for a while. But like before, we couldn't help ourselves. Any topic we'd be like,
it's still fun to follow. Like, yeah, like Sam Harris and Claire Lehman with the Claire with the Quillette. That was like
Quillette. Is that like Gillette?
Quillette was like, this is the scientific journal for the like intellectual right. I guess like a Quillette, like a pen, right?
Oh, gotcha.
I'm born too late
to know that.
But they both left Twitter abruptly.
For them.
They didn't like make an announcement or anything. They just left. And so
that's so like real like, suicide, like real suicide. You don't normally make a big announcement. You're like kind of happy the day of, and then you just check out.
Yeah But this is now you get to see what your funeral's like when you leave. With Twitter suicide, you get to see how people grieve, which is apparently like, oh, I guess Sam went too deep in his meditation, or like just weird stupid, like the dumbest weirdest insults I've ever seen. I'm not like I was a fan of Sam Harris and the Four Horsemen of Atheism thing back like 15 years ago or something, and like never really checked in. Seems like he's doing interesting enough stuff. I always liked hearing him speak. I don't know much about him, but I know he actually like seemed reasonable when all of the intellectual dark web decided like, the way to advocate for free speech is to be anti-vax. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
and then,
he is
like,
the most
everyone
anti-Trump and most pro-vax of that cohort, which is probably why he gets the specific hate from that side.
Yeah.
But I hope he's... that's weird. Like when someone quits Twitter, I never think, I hope they're okay. You just immediately assume, oh, that's good. They're probably getting some more writing and reading done. They're probably catching up on shows. They're probably spending more time with their family. You never think, huh? Where are they okay?
I haven't been on Instagram, which I like. I enjoy Instagram, but I still took it off my phone because I thought I was spending a little too much time on it. I go on Twitter some still, but as you would see if I was on Twitter a lot, you would notice I'd be posting.
If I'm also on Twitter, yeah.
If you're also on Twitter. And then, but
I hold my breath a lot of times on these platforms. I hold my attention breath, not my like oxygen breath, but my attention. I'm like, okay, post. Okay, now get out of it. Don't pay attention to stuff because you'll get sucked in again.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we're doing to connect, by the way, is we're putting together, I thought I'd have it together right now, but all of this, but we're, so this idea of putting a council together for the camp out, I've talked with a couple people and a couple people that have Burning Man camps and stuff. And I think though, the way that we'll do it is we'll open up, we'll make the announcement during next episode and it will have you put something on the site. Which will be a ticket link to be on the council, to be involved in. Basically, the first people that join it will get in the early meetings, and then we'll sort out in the early meetings what it is and how big it is and how it should be split up, because it seems like there's a bunch of different ways of doing it, of like, you're in charge of all of this aspect of the art things. Okay, you like adding to the cooking stuff, you can be in charge of that and have like breakout groups and things like that for it. So that's how far that's come along since the last time that we brainstormed it. It's closer to being ready to launch, but I also don't want to like throw out a half-baked product and sell you guys tickets until we're sure that it's going to be worth everyone's.
But this is an oven where you can look inside.
Yeah, that's
true. So we're not opening the oven and letting the heat out, but you can look inside of the oven with the light and see that, okay, it's not done yet, but it's rising. Yeah. And what should we call it? The Klingon High Council? The Mum High Council?
I think something fun like that. It should sound like Star Trek or Star Wars type thing, don't you think? Yeah. It should be fun.
Maybe not. Maybe we need to use the council to decide what the council is called.
Yeah, that's
and then we can say things like, the council will never stand for this.
Yeah.
Captain, the council has been corrupt for the last 200 years.
Because... Well, I mean, we'd probably put a cap on it, but also if just like 10 people join in the first few days or whatever and we have a meeting, then those 10 people can help decide what the rest of it is going to be. Just seems like a fun way to, like, I haven't missed social media at all, but I haven't done like board game nights and some of the other things, which I actually love doing. I've just been fucking busy as hell. And so that's something that I'll have to like have a bunch of dates and commit to and then actually do it. So seems like it would be a lot of fun. Plus we're getting into now that I know how putting together a festival and camp out works, turns out it helps when you start much earlier than just five months out. So we already have a few interesting like sponsorship opportunities and things like that we need to get the ball rolling on.
Can you say yet or no? Bud Light?
No. Well, there's like potentially some interesting opportunities with the science communication aspect of things and like potentially getting some grant money or at least being able to have like big scientists so we don't need to just use people from around Raleigh, but we might also be able to get some sort of something so that we could do something like cool and have like more science booths in the artist row and stuff, because we only had one last year.
That'd be cool to do. Even odd
more. There's like a survival, so here's a little teaser. There's a survival camp thing where you like learn to like make fire and some survival-ish technique type stuff with some scientists. That's a thing that I've been talking with a couple people about, and it's something that I'd like the council's perspective on. And that's the thing that needs to be decided on by like the end of the year for a few things, because the world of science is conscientious and does things like way ahead of time. So I need to start booking it now. So some stuff like that, and then I have some other ideas for sponsorship stuff.
Hell, but yeah, not to get too much on a soon. I know you're trying to end the episode, but one last thought. Have you heard from Dan Ariely? Did he have a good time?
Yeah, he had a fantastic time.
Oh, okay, good. Just making sure he had fun.
Oh yeah, he had a great time. He was thrilled to get to do that. It was so fun to have him. Maybe some more stuff like that next year. Everyone's now going to want jazz accompaniment with their
I got to get John again. Yeah. John Hargett on the drums held down the foundation of it.
Dan's a really skilled and experienced public science communicator. Like a lot of people that I reach out to, some of them might be the best expert on salamanders or something like that, but that doesn't mean that they have like tons of experience with public speaking, especially in like weird scenarios. Whereas Dan's done like, you know, endless corporate events and all sorts of things like that. So he was able to, it was fun watching him because he was like, oh no, this is a little too upbeat for the for like the sadness of this study or whatever. And you guys would have to change a little bit. And he would have fun with it. That was super cool. I got to remind myself how fun the camp out is because I worked so hard on it for, we all worked so hard on it for so many months that as soon as it was over, it was like, oh my God, I haven't worked on anything else for 5 months and now I have all of the rest of the things that I do with my career that I need to very quickly get caught up on the 5 months of work on that I missed out on. So anyway, yeah. In a good place now.
Floods and droughts, that's all there is.
Floods and droughts. So I'm telling you, I'm not missing TV at all. 2 months, no drinking, cigarettes, or TV. Haven't missed TV at all.
Nice.
It's been wonderful, but TV is not a problem for everybody like it is for me. So, all right, I'm going to head to Wisconsin, going to see grandma. We're going to record some updates, going to have some other stuff.
Wish her well, but don't tell her I'm praying for.
Will do. Thanks for joining me to record this on short notice with all of the stuff going on my end of things. Life and death both happen fast and don't always work on the timetable that you would plan for.
Ain't that the truth, brother?
All right. Well, until next time.
Keep on salivating, honeys.